Recording. Welcome to another episode of Fishy Radio. We recently did an episode where we talked about beginning fishing and the basics. There were some things that we touched on lightly, including leader, hooks, weight, and bobber. I want to kind of elaborate more on that and some other things during this show. Well, first of all, you need to get your reel spooled when you do buy yourself a rod and reel, unless you're getting a broomstick and you're fishing like D twine.
Yeah, baby.
I don't think it comes in different weight sizes.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, you need number 9 twine with tar on it.
With tar?
Yeah, it's covered in tar.
Like a clear tar?
No, tar. Black tar.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah, they use them to mend the nets. So like when you pull the knot and you pop, it pops and makes a real tight knot and won't come undone.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Unless you catch a 40-plus incher and then it just snaps the whole line in half.
If you're catching a 40-plus incher, we need to be listening to you.
Yeah. You got to lift your weights before you go.
So if you do actually end up going with that Penn Passion 2000 that we talked about, they're going to suggest you go with a 15-pound test braid. Braid's very popular down here in Florida as far as mono goes. I don't know what they would suggest. 10-pound mono?
Mono. I think 20-pound.
20-pound.
I've never fished with mono.
I've
always fished with braid.
I don't know much about it.
I think it's an offshore thing. It does stretch, you're right.
It's also
I think
a
they do.
Not Florida thing. Florida is super braid.
We are, absolutely. But we have a lot of obstructions.
That
braid.
Oysters. And
we do, yeah. And we do a lot of, beating the bushes. So stuff that, mono would just, it'd wreck it, pulling something out of the mangroves, we need braid that's going to be a little bit more...
abrasive.
A little more sturdy.
Yeah, there you go. Yep.
Something I wasn't used to coming down here is the fact that you guys use leader.
We do, yes. Now, we do for saltwater fishing, yes. Freshwater fishing, we do not. At least I do not.
Yeah, see, someone caught me. I was freshwater fishing, and I tied a lure directly onto my braid, and they saw it, and they were like, "What? No, you need to use leader."
You can do it.
I'm sure you can. I've always been told in freshwater the less is more, basically. The
freshwater,
less
do you use
better.
Braid?
But I do. I use braid
in
freshwater.
Freshwater.
I use the same rig that I have for saltwater. Mm-hmm. I just don't put a leader on it because I'm not catching snook.
Yeah.
And snook is really the biggest reason that I use a leader because of their gills.
Well, I guess I'm thinking of a bait caster. Like, well, I guess you could have braid on that, right?
You can. You don't want to give me a bait caster, I'll tell you that right now.
Actually, I mastered one
You'll
of those.
You'll lose
hard.
Your mind.
I'm
you
just
give me
hard
one
to
of
master
things.
It. But I
tried it. I had a buddy put me on his boat and be like, "Here, use this." And within 5 minutes, he was like, "Nope, here's yours back." I can't do it. I'm not coordinated with one of those things.
I was really intimidated by him. And then I reeled one in and I did the whole thumb movement back and forth. And I felt pretty cool.
I just go out in the yard for hours. Psss, and it burned up. I'm like, dang it.
I saw a thing on Facebook one time, and it had that bait caster, and it was all rat netted. You know, had was just a rat's nest of crap, and it was captioned, "What's worse than a broken heart?" That.
That's funny.
Yeah, I can't do one of those things. But I don't use, I personally don't use leader when I freshwater fish, but I would never saltwater fish without a leader.
Yeah. We always use mono. That's why we never use a leader.
Yeah.
We never use mono.
Mono can take shock. Braid can't take shock. So that's one of the reasons why you use leader, is because when that fish hits, you want it to stretch the tiniest little bit so that it doesn't just snap your line. If you're going to be using 15-pound braid on your rod and reel, I think you can safely go up to, like, 30.
Well, it depends on what size rod, I guess it is, what class rod it is.
Yeah,
I like the 15 to 20-pound myself.
That's where I stay for pretty much everything. That's
and a leader maybe 30-pound, you know, something a little bit bigger than... What your main line is?
20-pound leader is typically what
fluorocarbon I usually use.
Yeah, because it sinks.
Yeah, it's invisible.
Yep.
But let's say you can't really go up to an 80-pound leader because it doesn't have, compared to the 15-pound braid that you're tying it to, your knots aren't going to hold because the
stretch isn't. Yeah, I mean, 80-pound leader to 15-pound braid's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I don't think that's a thing.
No, I don't. I think 80-pound leader is more toward tarpon and stuff, huh?
Yeah, and I ain't tying that, I'll tell you. I am not tying 80-pound.
That goes
pound.
On a swivel.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
And about hooks. You always want to choose your hook size in relation to whatever bait you're using, not whatever fish you're trying to catch. Correct?
Yeah,
I mean, I do, but I don't live bait, so I'm sure y'all use, like, circle hooks. And I do have circle hooks on my boat.
Yeah, I don't use circle hooks.
No?
Okay. Not unless
I love
have
circle
to.
Hooks.
You know, when I'm super lazy, I use circle hooks.
I'm super lazy.
What's fantastic about circle hooks is you don't have to set it.
Yeah, everybody says that, but I've never had any luck.
An offset circle, you still have to treat it as a J-hook and set it, but if it's an inline circle hook... You don't need to set that hook. Actually, if you do,
an,
go
isn't an
to
offset
set that
circle hook illegal?
No, that's what they have. I believe isn't an offset circle hook what the shark regulations went to?
No, that's a circle
inline hook. Inline circle hook.
Inline, yeah.
I think the offset is only illegal reef fishing.
Yes.
Offshore.
Correct. You're right. That might be. Yeah. I've always come up using circle hooks. I don't.
No.
I mean,
something about
setting
the circle hook when you get the circle literally goes back to the hook like. There's no
room for
right.
the fish to get on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're easier to take. To me, they're easier to take out of the fish's mouth.
You don't
you don't have to, you know, stand up there and set the hook. You reel. It is an easier thing. I guess it's a lazier thing. If I use live bait, and I'm using a circle, I'm using a hook, I usually use a circle hook, but I'm usually also using a jig head if I'm using live bait too, but...
You use the circle jig hooks?
Mm-mm. No, I usually use the clackers, the little clacking jig heads, and then put shrimp on those. Yes, those things are amazing for redfish. And so I use those if I'm using shrimp, and that's pretty much all I ever use. But other than that, I'm using an offset bass hook for my artificial.
Yeah, me, I'm always using a jig head. If I can get away with a jig head, that's what I'm using. So then you don't have to add the extra weight to it as well. It's got its own little bit of weight to it.
Yeah, and here lately I've even been using a jig head. You've got the weedless jig heads in there too.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying that the last couple times I've been out on my soft plastics. And that seems to be working okay, too. But usually it's just a weighted offset bass hook that I use for my soft plastics. So anyhow.
Did you drop a brand name? Because I think I missed it.
Rockport Rattlers.
Oh, okay. Those are amazing. And those are the ones that have this little, it's like a little bead in
them.
Yeah,
like a little glass bead.
Yeah. And so they clack. And underneath the water, when you're kind of jigging them, you know, popping that shrimp under there, it clacks. And and I did so I read an article in Waterline, it was like 2 years ago, they did an article in Waterline about this Rockport Rattler that I had never even heard of before. So I read it, and it was written by Robert, I read it and I'm like, okay. So I took my water line and I took it up to the store and I got everything, took it up to Frank's and I got my Rockport Rattler and I got my shrimp and they had diagrams on how to hook your shrimp to it and yada, yada, yada. I'm telling you, I took that thing out, my shrimp and my Rockport Rattler, and I have never caught so many redfish in all my life. Like, that is one story in waterline that I will never, ever, ever forget, because that was pretty, them little things I swear by them. I have like a whole tackle box full of them now, and if I ever use a shrimp, it's going on the Rockport Rattler. Like, I have every color, every one that they make, I've got them. Those things are awesome. They really are. No, we're not getting paid for that one either, but but they really are cool.
Yes, they are.
I am getting paid for Tease Tackle out of Port Charlotte. Owned and run and made by a local vet. He also has rattling jig heads. I would recommend. I'll get you a set and see how it
really compares.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Larry's a pretty cool guy.
There's another one that I have that has the rattle in the eye. I don't know if you do. So it's kind of like the rattler, except the eye rattles. The eye is where the... Okay. So it doesn't have that little...
Those are the...
On the side of the
pin,
hook.
That little, like, pin.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, these are...
Those are the Storm new Storm ones?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Have them in my tackle box. But anyhow, I don't like those nearly as much as the Rockports. But it's probably because I have a soft spot for the amount of redfish that they caught me a couple years back, too.
So I got you a new lure.
Okay.
And I bet you have never seen or heard of it before, because they actually don't make them anymore.
Okay.
And this old man at a bait shop that I was in swore by them.
Okay.
Oh, this is the only thing that will catch fish. You know, the same story you hear about it. But it's called a Golden Eye Maverick.
Huh.
So I was like, man, I'm going to ask them boys at Fish and Frank's if they got them or not, or if they know where I can get them.
Mm-hmm.
I go in there and talk to Steve. I'm like, Steve, I got out my phone because I wrote it down, you know. I was like, you ever heard of a Golden Eye Maverick? He's like, yeah, here, it's right here. And he turned around. He had one. I was like, are you
kidding?
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. They actually had them on the shelf.
No kidding.
Which I guess they've gone out of business, and they're not making them anymore. Frank found that. I talked to Frank. I was like, Frank, how could you're the only one that's got these.
Right.
And he told me that they went out of business, and he actually did some searching around for them. And everybody that was going out of business and discontinuing them. She's retarded.
I just took a picture of the girls. It threw them off.
Anyway, he bought them up. Frank bought every single one he could get his hands on. He swears by. He's like, yeah, back when we were kids, you know, back in the caveman days.
that's the only thing that would catch a snook.
So anyway, I got you one. So you gotta
really?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't wait. That's awesome.
I got you one. So it's old. I mean, the box is all beat up. You can tell it's been around a minute.
Those are my favorites.
But this thing is pretty cool looking.
But you know what sucks is I get something like that and then I'm scared to use it. That's my, because you know,
works
I like
so
to beat
well.
Bushes. Right. But I like to beat bushes and I'm like, ooh, if
Yo,
I get
you'll
too
like
close,
this. It's got a nice thick hook on it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ooh, well, I'm excited now.
Nice. Frank swears by him.
Fine, I guess I'll go fishing this weekend then.
Well, I could throw it out there, but I'll look like a retard doing it because I don't know how to do it. So I'll be like, this doesn't work.
You'll throw it in the bushes.
Yeah. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
All right, well, I'm only going fishing this weekend for you, Dee, so I can use my new lure.
All right.
The things I
That's
do
awesome.
For you. Out of the good
things I
got
to do to get a boat ride around here.
real quick, back to circle hooks. One thing you don't want to do with the circle hooks is set them, because then they'll just rip them out of the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
What weight size are you guys using? Do you free line or do you use weight on your line? I
free line. If it's live bait, I free line it, yeah. If the shrimp's big enough, you don't even need a weight on it. I don't even use a weight. But if, obviously, sometimes the shrimp get a little smaller, I always put a weight on it, like a little pinch weight maybe, quarter ounce pinch weight or something.
Okay.
At the top of, you know, maybe where your leader hooks to your braid, you know, up top, not down by the hook or nothing.
All right.
Just pinch it right on there so you can give you some whipping power.
Okay.
But other than that, just free line it.
I usually fish in, at ponds. And there's so much current moving in there that every time I've tried to freeline, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
So it really depends on where you're fishing. You might need to use weight. Typically, I'll use 1.5 to 2 ounce egg sinker.
Well, at ponds, you're bottom fishing, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, so you just need
you have to like get a drop down
rig.
There.
You drop, put a drop rig out there? Is that what you use?
I do not know the name.
Well, it's like a leader, with, and at the bottom it has a clasp that you hook on like a pyramid sinker at the very bottom of the leader, and then it has two leaders that go off of the main leader.
No.
That you put hooks on.
No, I do on my braid, bead, egg sinker, bead, shoot, what's that thing called?
Swivel.
A swivel, and then leader, and then hook at the base. I believe it's called a North Carolina rig.
Oh, yeah, Carolina rig.
I was, yeah, when yeah. I heard the beads, I was yeah. Carolina rig.
The
yeah.
beads would just make noise, just clack.
I, they're like I think they're to protect the eye of your rod. So that when
no,
you
I think
reel
they,
in.
Don't they make noise? They clack when you.
They're, yeah, for yeah, clacking.
They
yeah.
are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what that's for.
I've never seen that used in salt water, though.
No.
Well, you can come watch me fish.
But the only reason why I say that is because you said there was a lot of current moving through there.
Yeah.
And I mean, the only way to make it yeah. not move is to put
right.
weight on it.
To put it to get it to the bottom so it doesn't just flow. Yeah.
I might want
to
check into them drop rigs. I think they come in 2 and 3. Like you can get 2 hooks or 3 hooks. Right? Those drop rigs?
I think so.
Yeah. Are those the things that we have back by the back door?
Yes.
That have like the spun metal coming yes. off the sides? Okay.
You guys have them up front by the... The register too, where they're all mono. Those ones back by the back door are steel line, uh-huh. like wire. But the ones up by the counter, they got mono off going off them, so they kind of dangle versus, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's usually what we use when we fish current.
Okay.
On the bottom.
Okay.
Because so yeah.
Then you got 2 hooks on it.
Huh?
Then you got 2 hooks.
Yeah, it's
kind of
like
it.
A sabiki rig at that mm-hmm. point.
More chances.
Yeah.
I know when I was starting out, I got one of those little smorgasbord little boxes of different size weights, which would be good for you to grab because you don't know if you're necessarily going to be fishing in calm water, water with current, or if the tide's really strong that day, you'll need to use more weight. If you do want to use a bobber, they use a lot of popping corks here. I wasn't familiar with them when I moved down here. Could any of you explain really like the use of a popping cork, how you use it, why you use it?
I use yeah. it. Good. You want to go?
Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I use it more so on trout. I say yeah. more so, only specifically on trout.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And all it does is, you know, you let it sit out there and then you give it a little pop. And it makes a noise like there's a feeding frenzy going on. So okay. what you're doing is you're just attracting the fish. You're kind of psyching them out, making them think that something just got something.
Yeah.
That one of their buddies just found something on the surface and he popped at it. And that's yeah. basically what the sound that you're trying to replicate. So you yeah. just let it hang out there and then you pop it. Then you let it hang out there for a minute and you pop it.
Yeah. How do you pop it?
You just jig it. You know, pull
give
it,
a,
just
give it a jerk.
Give yeah. it a, yep, a jerk. Make sure that it pops. Reel water it sprays everywhere, bit, yeah. you know. And
I like the ones with the bullet, like they're cupped at the top.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Some people like the round ones. I think they're cigar ones, shaped ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The one, I think I call them cone shaped, I guess.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I'm the yeah. old 89 cent yeah. cone shaped one yeah. with the little
but
orange
ring
around the top.
They come rigged up with a metal wire through them.
Yes.
The same one, right?
Yes.
And there's beads on the top and the bottom. By the swivels, and it does the same thing when you jig it. Not only does it pop, but the beads make a
that's got the clacking.
Too.
Yeah, clackin those are good for redfish. Yeah. Redfish really like that clacking noise.
Yeah.
Those beads on mm-hmm. those. But yeah. the popping ones just got the one that I'm referring to
is
just that old styrofoam.
Stick.
Yep, yeah. the white one with yeah. the green stick that goes down the center. Yeah. It's got the orange ring around mm-hmm. the top of it, and so it's got a hole. Essentially a hole in the top of it so that when you jerk on it, that hole catches the water.
Mm-hmm.
It goes up against the water, catches the water, and it makes that big popping noise, splashes mm-hmm. water everywhere, and it replicates a fish that just popped on the surface.
Yeah.
So that's really the in my experience, that's the point
yeah.
of the popping corks.
Yeah, I've never used a bobber or nothing like that. Popping cork during trout season, but
popping cork during
never
and you know
bobber.
Trout can be very they can be very tricky in the way that they're there and you don't know it.
Yeah.
So they're not I haven't ever found them to be an overly aggressive fish, like grab your bait and run. I've had trout on my line and never known it for, you know, quite a while. Either that or they get it and they're gone.
Yeah.
So it kind of does, you know, double as, you know, you have your popper to try to attract the fish with that. Plus, once that thing goes underwater there, you know, you have your trout. And they can be tricky little critters that way if they want to be. They can be.
Their mouths are pretty tricky, too. Oh, boy, those are some killer little teeth.
They big are. Teeth. You definitely don't want to grab him by his upper or lower lip. That is for certain.
Yeah.
Keep your hands clear.
Not if you want a piercing.
I'm telling you, they are.
And fangs are dangerous.
Ooh, yes, they are. Yep. So grab him by his belly.
Yep.
Beginning out, it's really important to know what is in season, what is not in season, and it changes so often that a lot of printouts aren't correct. What's best is for you to check with the MyFWC website. To ID the fish that you've just caught, if you don't yet know what it is, what is the slot limit, meaning what size is okay to keep, and if you're allowed to keep it at that point in time. Currently,
bag limit.
Trout, and how many you can keep, good point. Currently, trout, snook, and redfish are out of season. You cannot keep any of them. But it's that MyFWC is a really good app to use to keep up on what's going on with the FWC and what they choose to.
You can sign up for newsletters with them as well. And then also they have an app where you can put your license right on the app and you don't even have to tote your license anymore. But they do have an app for that stuff. Which is really nice. And then, of course, I keep referring to it, and I hope it's okay. But anyhow, Waterline also has an entire page every single week of all the rules, regulations, and pictures of fish too, bag limits, fresh and salt water, so that you can refer to that as well.
On the MyFWC app, I actually look a lot at part of it that's called feeding times. It gives you minor and major feeding times and a certain amount of stars on how the fishing is going to be that day.
I checked that out.
Do tell. Hang on, wait, what? Yeah. I haven't heard the hang. Let me look.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Speaking of it's called feeding times under fishing. And I thought it only went up to 3 stars, but then one day there was 4 stars and it was magic. But you know, if you're only can go out for a certain amount of time or whatever, it'll tell you, look at that, 6:30 to 8:30 feeding. There's like a major feeding time, or it's just kind of nice to know it's actually kind of accurate. Uh-huh. At least
that's pretty cool.
Would you look at that?
Is it?
Yeah. And how many days in advance does it go?
Well, this is, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. Oh, my goodness. This
really?
Goes all the way to, all the way to August 15th.
Well,
yeah. This is like the farmer's almanac.
I was just going to say, that's like farmer's almanac.
I had no idea this was here. I mean, I'm glad I told you this was here.
Yeah, good one.
What about locations? You're just starting out. Let's say you're a young woman. You've just gotten all your set up. And where do you go here in the Port Charlotte area to begin fishing? Where there might be a lot of people to kind of give you tips, help out if you hook into a stingray and...
See, I'm the opposite, so I'm very introverted. So, like, when I first started doing this, I wanted to be away from people.
Me
because
too.
When I did stupid things, I didn't want people to see it. So, I will let y'all two go with this one.
I'm like you. I'll learn by mistake.
Yeah.
But I want to make my own mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't want to be watched or anybody around, oh, hey, you're doing that wrong. And
right.
So, I'll just... Yeah.
There's a lot to learn, so I don't want to be sitting on the back of my truck for 20 minutes trying to tie a knot 14 different times while the guy next to me is just having a heyday with it, you know. But on the other hand, the guy next to me may have said, hey, you know, do it this way, and I would have only had to do it 13 times, who knows.
Right.
But I'm a very introverted person, so I just want to be by myself until I know that I'm really not going to look like a fool.
I would say in general, if you're very like new to the area.
Yeah, so I'm super introverted as well, but I think one of the things I was really worried about was catching something that would be like poisonous and I'd go to touch it and not know and then die.
Well, I mean, that is a legit concern.
Yeah, I mean, there's some fish out there that can hurt you for sure.
Yeah, but yeah, I
see,
don't
you need
know
to find that
really
one friend to say, hey, take a picture of it, you know, send it to them. Hey, can I touch this?
Yeah,
let me tell you, there's been a couple of fish that I have posted on Facebook going, uh-huh, what in the world is this? Yeah. And that's...
Isn't there an app where you can take a picture of the fish you caught and it can identify it through the picture?
Really?
I think so.
I haven't heard of that.
I don't know.
I'm sure of it.
I don't know. But,
you
know,
out of time.
How did that happen?
I don't know, but we definitely need to continue that part of the conversation. Join us again for another episode of Fishy Radio, where we start talking about specific locations that are good for beginner fishermen in the Port Charlotte area. Thanks again for joining us. My name is Alex. We have Jeannie.
Tight lines.
Heather.
Bye, girls.
And Dee.
See you later.
Have a great day. Thanks again for listening. Bye.